Donna Brassox, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Peter.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Hi, not too bad. And you're coming through crystal good. Clear again, okay?
I'm coming through?
Crystal clear, crystal clear.
Great. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, the broadcast is very good again today. I see you on TV last night. Did you hear prickle up? You know, years ago when we saw a man, we hear like a hairstyle that we used to call you a prickle height.
A prickle up? Yeah, that you find drugs.
I wonder if you're going to prickle now.
No, not at all.
Don't answer that. Don't answer that.
That's my Black Lives Matter moment.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Look,
I've told the Prime Minister that I won't come right here until Nelson is moved. Nelson is moved, she can take the scissors to it.
Okay. I had a fantastic cricketer too, you know.
Okay.
I used to come
up. You were never a night watchman.
No. I used to broke the water for the cricketers.
Okay.
I did the water carrier. Yeah. Anyhow, look, Peter, let me talk a little politics here now, right? Mm-hmm. I just hear the stats man talking about strategic and promotion and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Could I meet Trevor Prescott this morning and speak to him as Mr. Minister? Could I do that with Mr. Hinkson?
Of course. Yes, of course.
I could refer to them right now this morning as Mr. Minister.
Until the August.
Hello?
Until August.
Until August. Okay, fair enough.
Right, yeah.
Good. So, Mr. Prescott and Mr. Hinkson, are they promoted or demoted? Or are they fired?
Well, you can be an across-the-board transfer. They're not ministers today.
Good. All right. Well, that might be. I just try hard, and I believe it's because of my love and affection for the Prime Minister, right? I don't really quarrel too much with the Prime Minister. I don't really quarrel too much with the Prime Minister because of my love and appreciation for her. But, however, though, I don't know, man. I look at the reshuffle, and I thought that when you look at the tourism ministry, I think you want some person in the tourism, not that Kerry Simmons didn't suit the job, right? Under the conditions that Kerry had to work with, especially in recent times, right? With our new norm, I think that Kerry, I could say, do the best that he could have done. But I like to see a flamboyant person in the Ministry of Tourism or heading up that ministry, right? And I would have reached in the Senate for Rudy Grant. I think that Rudy Grant understands the ministry, the whole thing of tourism, the industry, not the ministry. I think he understands the industry, the tourism industry, and I would have promoted Rudy Grant to be the Minister of Tourism. That's just me. Now, when you look again at, and oh, this is one thing that I extremely like. I like the idea that the Prime Minister now have culture upon the her wings. I always see Miss Motley, Prime Minister Motley now, as a good culture ambassador. And I think that she holds that portfolio right close and dear to her heart. So I don't have a problem with John King, Minister John King, operating as a second minister in that ministry with the Prime Minister taking full guard of the ministry, because that's not to take away anything from John King. I like John, right? Mm-hmm. But of late, I see John been making a few missteps, all right? And I welcome the idea that the Ministry of Culture is up under the Prime Minister wings, all right? Because, okay. Hello?
No, I'm listening to you. I'm going to comment after. You go ahead.
Now, when you look now in totality, right, do you believe, I now could turn on my radio now on Tuesdays and listen to Parliament. Right? I think Parliament would be very interesting to listen to now on Tuesdays, right? because I don't think that these fellows or the people that gone on the back bench, if they remain on the back bench, got to look over their shoulder and then got to beg them one another for a favor, I think that Parliament was very interested now. But I think Bishop Atherley is the one that got to look over his shoulder. Because if if money bad enough and they form a coalition or something, I think Bishop Atherley will be in problems. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Well, you know that the Almighty tells you where two or three are gathered in my name, there shall it be also. I know you're a church master, you're familiar with that.
No, I'm not a church man at all. I don't know where you keep me. Right? I am not a church man. I don't have anything against the church per se. I got a thing against the messengers of the church. And that is my thing. Right? But I told you already, if I go to a funeral and I don't go in church, I don't feel like I went to the funeral, okay?
Suffice to say, I think that this whole idea of two or three gathering is something that the Prime Minister would have considered. Certainly in the past, she considered it when the government was being formed. And one could argue that that was why the cabinet was so big. I think that the judgment that she has made now assumes that the two or three that might gather would either not get along or would neither or would not want to destabilize her politically. So she had one of the two or three that were gathered currently, which is Unejo. He's managed to make his way into cabinet, which kind of tells you that if you want to get to heaven, there's more than one road that you can take. And Unejo was not angry when he got left out. Unejo essentially set to work in terms of the tasks that he had been given to perform, performed them admirably, and today he's in the cabinet. While the other gentleman left and went across the floor.
I can beg you for a little more time, right?
But I just want to respond to what you said so far. Hold on, because I listened to you very intensely. I agree with your points on culture, which is fine. I agree with your point on culture. I think that culture is in a good place. And I agree that the best culture minister that you can have now is Prime Minister Motley. And to have John King working with her, I think that's good.
I think that would be a good thing.
And perhaps she should have kept it in the first place, but you know, that's so it goes.
Well,
there was another thing I wanted to say to you, but I forgot. Anyhow, you go ahead.
I said so for the inception, right? That I was disappointed that the Prime Minister did not hold on to culture. However, you're looking at the role of CJ, right? Or who will head up who will be the CJ boss? I am saying all Miss Motley got to do is look back when she go to Parliament. And MP Ralph Thorne, you know, he would get my nod any day, right? And I'm wondering if something ain't going in his direction, but MP Ralph Thorne could be a CJ any day in Barbados, you know? And to look a little more on the political jargon, in recent times, some ministers that now being reassigned and left out and things, they made some very big blunders in the public domain. Wilfred Abrams went up to St. John in a town hall meeting. People, they're angry, disappointed, and frustrated with the water system. And Wilfred Abrams embarrassed the whole government, including himself. You remember the comment, right?
I heard the comment, sir.
Good. You wouldn't say that was an embarrassment?
I don't know the context within which it was then.
Yeah, but I mean, people didn't get warning. You said that the reason that the bills get spiked is because they got leaked by the property.
If it is, though, it's possible that they may have had water at different points in time in the past.
Well, anyhow, then Mr. Prescott, a good man, I like Mr. Prescott, but he played mad strict the idea when he went by two lawbreakers. Right? You remember that? When the fellows went down?
I don't. Which fellows went where?
When the two fellows dumped coconut shells down by some beach.
Yeah, but that ain't nothing that he would have gotten fired for.
He should let the law take its course, man.
Wesley, let's stick a pin and discuss that issue very briefly. Because I don't understand what people of Barbados want. Wesley, I want to say two things to you regarding your contribution this morning. First thing is, I'm a big fan of Ralph Thorne's intellect. Certainly, when I listen to Ralph Thorne in Parliament, I think that he's one of the few ministers that are in Parliament currently.
Members.
He engages. You know, he engages, his intellect is sung, and I like to hear Ralph on constitutional matters and other things. Having said that, however, I am inclined to appreciate the fact that Ralph's wife is currently a judge. If he became Chief Justice, that would create problems. But that's the point I'm going to make, that we have a history where we knew what happened when someone was taken out of Parliament. I made a Chief Justice. And I honestly don't know if Prime Minister Molly wants to go down that road again, especially if she has other options. So those are my two things in relation to the reason why I suspect it will not be him, for those two reasons.
I'm not saying it will be him, you know.
I know. You would like it to be him, right?
I just like the man.
Right, no problem. Just give me a chance and let me just respond to your other point. You know, I listen to people talk about this thing with the garbage and the two fellas that were throwing garbage and whatnot. And I get the impression sometimes that Barbadians would be happier if they saw the two of those being marched to Parliament in handcuffs, as the Americans, they say, frog walk to Parliament in handcuffs or shackles to be charged either to lock it up or alternatively charged a sum of money, as distinct from what happened. I am a strong believer in forgiveness, ironically, because I am not a Christian, and a Christian is supposed to be, that's why the virtues of Christianity is supposed to forgive. But I am a strong believer in forgiveness. I am also a strong believer in what you could call restorative justice. In my opinion, Barbados is better off today having had those two individuals clean up a section of the beach and do the kind of public relations that they did. The guy who cursed the woman, Stink, apologized profusely for having done so. I get the impression that the guy is sincere. The other fella that he was working with, he didn't have a lot to say on the occasion, but he has also apologized. And when I heard the remarks that both of them made after they were finished the big cleanup, I was convinced that they understood that what they did was wrong. And I also understood. I feel that they understood that what they did was wrong. I understood the quality of their actions were negative. And I think that they also were comfortable that they were sending a message to other people to say, do not do what I did. Now, my sense to you is, what more could a society want than that in a situation like that? I feel that we are better off having seen the benefit of, one, the restorative part, and secondly, the act of forgiveness, as distinct from locking up two individuals for littering. And I give you the final word, and then we can go.
Peter, what I will say to you on that is, just shortly before then, somebody was charged $500 for throwing a sweetie paper out of a bus, right? Good. And so that's all I'm saying, let the law take its course. But I will finish off by saying this on the politics side again. What Nero ever bring to Parliament? And I can say this finally. I always thought, in respect to Edmund Hickson, I always thought to say that the jockey was too big for the horse, but it happened in the reverse with Edmund Hickson. The horse was, he was not big enough, or he was not carrying the true weight of a jockey for the job, that the portfolio that he was manned with. And that's the truth. He was to my mind a speech reader. I have never seen said anything definitively from the head. And Neil Rowe was just a pedestrian in Parliament. That's my thing.
Wesley, I know I told you that I would give you the final word, but let me just ask this question. Would you agree with me that Chris Sinclair was one of the hardest people in Parliament to beat, and that the person that decapitated Chris Sinclair deserved a ministry?
You're wrong there. Neil Rowe did not beat Chris Sinclair. Motley beat Chris Sinclair.
Okay, fair enough.
Mayor Motley beat Chris Sinclair, not Neil Rowe.
Fair enough. All right. Well said, Wesley. Thanks a lot for calling, and we can chat again next week, hopefully. Down to Brass Stocks, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Hi, morning.
In regards to what the gentleman just said, Mayor Motley beat everybody. according to the whole thing, or anybody could have run, and because of Barbados was fed up of the situation and how it was going through, anybody could have run and have gotten a seat. And I'm going to walk back on politics, but maybe go back with the guys cleaning up the beach.
So it could have been Wesley and it would be the same effect.
Pardon me?
It could have been Wesley or even John Stoke. John Stoke could have run and win.
Yeah, it would have been the same effect. If I'd have run, okay. I would have gotten in.
Or me?
Of course. in regards to what the gentleman just said with the guys turning the garbage, the most effect that had upon people was is that the guy that threw the straw through the window and they read it weeks before, and then this action happened with the two guys on the beach. The most thing for me is, the most disrespectful thing was the fella cursing the lady when they know they was doing something wrong. They apologize for it. As you say, sometimes forgiveness is thing, but sometimes you can't forgive people, because the sincereness of forgiveness is that you don't do nothing that you would say sorry about. You want to, if you try to get me. That was the whole issue. And then the straw thing with the $500 from the court came in. But what the minister did was made them clean not only the section that they're dirty, but also give them like a community service, which was punishment enough. If the judge to see fit to give that fellow community service to, it would have been the same thing, but he was charged a fine. If they'd have charged them a fine, it would have been the same thing, if you get me. So it's definitely confusing, because people just want to put white and black, rich and poor. But ain't the white boy that cursed the woman. It is the black boy that cursed the woman. Our own kind. People ain't looking at that fact. The white boy, the white gentleman just went in the Jeep and shut his door. He didn't pay no mind. So that's the emphasis upon that. People don't look at those things. No, regarding the government shuffle.
All right, wait. No, let me just talk a bit about this issue. I have always said that there's a difference between being sorry that you did something and being sorry that you get catch.
Right? True.
So if you harm your wife and you get caught, she may be willing to forgive you if she feels that you're sorry that you did it. Agreed?
Yes.
But if you didn't sorry that you did it, but you just said sorry, you get cash, which means you would do it again, she probably won't forgive you.
You remember you're right? Sorry, you're sorry to Suvan, don't the sorry right. Is a word that sorry is a complex word. Sorry is a complex word. Let me put it that way.
Agreed.
If you don't want to, for you not to want to say sorry, you don't do nothing to say sorry. Because you know, a man can mash the corn and he says sorry, but he's still like, yeah, I mash you corn, idiot. If you get me. But he just says sorry to Stove and down the situation. And you'll be like, oh, right. He said sorry. He said sorry.
But this is why asking you know, right? The Rasta guy cursed the woman. Stink.
Yes, please.
Right? And he has apologized. The white boy, as you said, he didn't really get involved in that, but he was in the car. I suspect that he was the driver. And he was an active participant. And he also apologized. Do you think that both of them are genuinely sorry that they did it?
That's a complex one.
Right, and that's the point.
It was done. They apologized. It was done. Yeah. But then after the apology, they still get punished because the cleaning section there was...
Which is fine, right.
You understand? And then there was another extra length, which is like community service.
Right.
You understand?
And sir, what I am saying is, at the end of the day, I think that Barbados is better off. I think that both of those individuals, I listened to their things, and I think that they're both genuinely sorry. Honestly, I really don't think the white boy was really either here nor there in relation to the incident. But I do feel that he is genuinely contrite regarding the fact that he really wishes that it had not happened, and it certainly is not going to happen again. The Rasta guy, I have the same feeling about him, that I suspect that he will not be cursing anybody like that again. I certainly hope not. And I think that he understands that it was disrespectful. He apologized to the lady. And as I said, I think that as a society, we also have to be willing to say to a person, you know, let them apologize and move on. I took the same position. Remember when, if we have a system where someone, Mr. Agriculture came on this program and he said, I am sorry. As far as I'm concerned, that's good enough for me. He has to satisfy a magistrate. He has to satisfy the judge regarding the legal matters and not getting involved in that. So he went before Justice Smith when she was a magistrate, and she dealt with him. But the point of the matter is that as far as society is concerned, the man apologized, and I think that we have to be big enough as a society to accept an apology. In the same way that I would tell a woman whose husband partner, if he's genuinely sorry, accept the apology and move on and take him back and go on with your business, you know, instead of spending time saying you did it, you did it. Anyhow, you're at a point, sir. You were looking at me.
Right. In regards to the cabinet reshuffle, and the guys here that is a strategic plan.
Mm-hmm.
Strategic is a funny word, too, because we all know that when we get put in a position, or let me speak on government officials, when you get elected to be a minister or voted into the party or specific area, and the minister puts you in, if we say Ministry of Education, you have no history about Ministry of Education. Most of these people that get put in some of these positions have no background. Them now have to go and learn about the industry or the ministry that they are in, which means that they have advisors. And sometimes when you go into a ministry, you must have a passion for it. Yeah, if you got a job like you are a political analyst, I'm sure you have a passion for it. So if you was driven into a ministry about political, then you know you will make sure that it excels in the way that you want it to excel. And when you change your ministry, because we don't sit down in these meetings, we don't know about the lack of performance some of these are doing. We just see the outer outlook when they come and do a news report and stuff like that. And then we hear the gossip in between. Like Lisa Cummings in the Ministry of Tourism now, she has a degree, or I think probably a master's in international policy and trade, which meaning that, you know, she got a certain level of how to push and boost Barbados in the tourism industry. And that is mostly it. So the government shuffle now, I would say it is something that is missing in between there. We could say that people get changed because it is a strategic plan, but it shows some people are not performing in their industries as supposed to be. And regarding the gentleman standing with Mr. Ariel making the controversy statement, even if you call Waterworks, no, and tell them that them you build too high, they're going to tell you, check and see if you're going to leak.
You're going to leak. Sir, two quick WhatsApp messages that are for your benefit. One is a person is saying, Peter, you also need to be able to tell that gentleman to accept his woman's apology if she is the one who cheats. So the suggestion here is that I should, instead of asking you if your wife would forgive you, if you would forgive your wife, if she took another man. But that is a delicate matter.
In my position...
This is from a caller.
I'm going to say my name, but you hit me up on the head when you asked if a man... I was unfortunately on that side. So to answer that question, I would say, well, yes, because I have been given forgiveness. And I don't come up, but you know, I have been given forgiveness. I did say sorry, but my sorry now is not to do it again. If I do it again, that means I was never sorry.
Fair enough. So that's good. So you can speak with confidence to the issue. The other point that is in a WhatsApp here is that the gentleman is saying that we are comparing apples and oranges. Apparently, the gentleman threw the straw out of the window and subsequently cursed the policeman, and then gave the policeman the wrong name. And that is perhaps the reason why he got charged $500. So it wasn't so much that he just littered, but he littered and he cursed the policeman. Probably not as stink as the Rasta guy cursed the woman, but he did. And then he gave a wrong name. So that is offense on top of offense.
But you see, we was not informed of that in the news clip. It just did.
I have to agree, I didn't know either.
Which meaning you know, if you're putting it upon a border of black and white, rich and poor. That is the main thing. And it's so much that this Black Lives Matter thing, it drives enough more hatred now. And people more speak out about things that, you know, it ain't really. For me, we are people of knowledge. Our past make our history. our past, make our history, but we don't hold on to the past to pull us and make us hate. For me, sometimes we get teach every to hate.
Yeah.
Because when we see a picture,
sir.
I remember years ago we watched a picture called Amistad, and I see the iron block in the sea, and the chain opened all of the slaves in the sea because the ship was overcrowded. And you see, it drives hatred in your head towards another race. Sometimes we are the most racist to ourselves and to other people, and we don't see it.
All right, sir. I want to thank you for your contribution. It was good having a conversation with you. I wish you and your wife well in the journey that you have embarked upon. And forgiveness is important in all of this. I agree with you entirely. So thank you for calling. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We have, of course, in another 20 minutes, we break for the regional roundup. It's at 12 o'clock. So until then, we take your calls and your emails, 434-1719. Good morning and welcome.
The integrity legislation. And it'll be interesting to see who are the hierarchies that the government will be going after with this bill. We'll be interested to see those hierarchies who will be facing the court when it does open to bring this bill in place. Peter, is there a lady justice that will be sworn in if she gets picked to be the chief justice? And let me tell you something, Peter. The way how the Prime Minister is going, she is going to appoint her as the Chief Justice. The Prime Minister is pushing the ladies forward. The
ladies, so you have a problem with that?
Yeah, no, I don't have a problem with that. But I'm saying she's pushing the the good lady there with the Ministry of Tourism. My Prime Minister is pushing them. And I'm saying she's also pushing something that I see too. I'm very sorry to hear what you're right there with Peter. Peter, you're right there with him.
We can't, sir, you cannot carry that kind of information on the radio. John, I have to cut all of that. So you don't mean to say saying it. Sir, to the best of my knowledge, what that message is untrue. It's not the subject of a criminal investigation. So we could assume everything that is in it is untrue, right? Unfortunately, I can't raise it with Stetson because I'm not in the same place as Stetson, but I would be curious. I would be surprised if that is the case. Because when I saw it, I was surprised because I was saying, but Stetson didn't even tell me that I saw what was going on. So I don't know that is true. So don't go down that road, sir.
All right, I hear you tell me don't go down that road, but I can tell you this now, that you road you don't want me to go down, I can go down this road with you now. If Stetson need to step into that frame of mind to get a pick on this government, he has to start doing things with this government to make them happy. Just like you. You see, one time the people kick you from wrong CBC. I know you back on CBC regularly. Regularly back on CBC. I want you to come out and tell the public that you got eyes on you for a pick at CBC again. You are going over there. We'll be going to tell you goodbye soon from now.
Sir, you are so far out to sea regarding my future. It's not funny. And I guarantee you, sir, and I said this on this program before, that the likelihood of my going back to CBC is very low. And the reason is very simple. I have been twice fired from that institution under both administrations. And I have always believed that third time I would be lucky. So I am not giving anyone at CBC the opportunity to dismiss me again. Right, I appear on CBC in the same way that I appear in several other media across this region, free of cost. So don't go down that road. Your arguments regarding the placements were interesting. Suffice to say, I am not convinced that that's necessarily the only factor the Prime Minister will take into consideration. So we have to wait and see who makes the pick, who is given the choice in terms of the judgeship. All right, sir. Again, I want to thank you for your contribution, and I will see if we can take another call and say good afternoon. Good morning and welcome to the next caller.
Okay.
That's
interesting.
Good morning. Good morning, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Can't
really.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. All right, this caller, they weren't ready for me. Peter, the deals regarding guys throwing the letter out of the bus were covered in both The Nation and Barbados today. I was reported
again on his most recent appearance in court. So the offenses were different and it was carried in the news media. Please make this point. Really do embrace Ms. Cummings in the same way that the Dems have Kimar as young president of the Young Dems. I think the comparison is an interesting one. Peter, I prefer if you call these men dreadlocks rather than Rasta. Every naughty head is not a Rasta. Due respect to the Rasta man. And I do apologize for that comparison. I use the word Rast rather generically in the way that trainees would tend to refer to anybody who has a Ras as a Rasta, but they're not necessarily meaning a Rastafarian as such. So apologies to anyone who I may have offended, but I do use the word in a very general sense. Dr. Brastocks, good morning.
Rather generically, in the way that trainees tend to refer.
Yep, please turn off the radio and let's have a conversation. Good morning and welcome.
They're not necessarily meaning.
Good morning.
Okay. Yeah, good morning and welcome.
Am I
good
on?
Morning. You are, good sir. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Wickham. Good morning, Mr. Wickham.
I am hearing you, sir. Go ahead. This is Alvin.
I didn't know you were hearing me.
Good morning, Alvin. How are you doing? Yes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Wickham. Are you giving listeners the impression, as I was holding on, that the only slice to the cake you can get is if you go at CBC?
No. The cake has many slices.
Oh, so don't try to mislead the public. All of it has, you all. All
it has
of
often,
you all. Listen to what I'm saying, Mr. Wickham.
It has often been said, it has often been said by the Almighty, in my room, in my house are many mansions. And
yeah,
I can prepare a place for you.
All of y'all that I have called over a year now, the armless coup, all lining up. All lining up. And
example.
Is, sorry?
Example.
And the troublesome part of it, all of you all line up with an empty treasury, and almost all the cake that you all get in is what the taxpayers got to prepare and finance. In other words, plenty of things is given out. And the only part that is sealing the weight is the treasury. Mr. Wickham, now, if Prime Minister has the right to select and to dismiss any minister, because first of all, it's the Prime Minister who does make that person a minister in first place. So when the Prime Minister decides that, let me have to move them for whatever reason, that's not the point. The point is, that is the power the Prime Minister has, and we must respect it. That is why I tell you, the reshuffle yesterday, I respect it. The only thing that, excuse me, that is puzzling me with the reshuffle is this.
Don't choke now, you know.
I was using some oats, and I didn't know it was going on so quick. So that's
I see.
That. Yeah.
Take your time. Give me what and happened to you.
Well, nothing happened to me. But I'm saying this. If you're going to fix a cabinet, I have an attorney general perform it at the level that this particular attorney general is practicing at. I don't say you can move any other minister. That is my opinion. No, that is her choice. But I am saying this. Before election, not only the present attorney general, all of them was dumped on the former attorney general. And how the murders and this and the going on. Everything has gotten worse. And then on top of that, Mr. Wickham, the minister that just got moved, which is Mr. Hinson, who was responsible for the police, he was moved because...
That's why he was moved? That's why he was moved?
I believe so. Okay. You know where he moved, because you closed. Help the listeners.
You keep saying that I close, but I ain't know how to say I close. I also want you to tell me why.
I tell you what I believe. I believe he was moved.
I want you to tell me why I get here from this place. Because I ain't understand it.
I believe he was moved because of the amount of
shootings
we have. That is my belief.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is, since they moved him, it has tripled, get worse than ever. And now, not only that, but a gentleman who ain't the Barbados Labour was in opposition, was the main mouthpiece for the opposition. Every minute jumping up, wouldn't let anybody speak, crossing them, trying to tangle them, and all sorts of things. Up front, the ambassador of the Caribbean Sea, going after the government. That man worked so hard to be a minister, and now going to move him. It is 18,000 to get a minister's gate.
I don't know, sir. I don't know.
They're moving from 18,000 to 7 in one, bam, gone. And you know what I'm hearing? You know what I'm hearing?
What are you hearing?
But to move a person 2.5 years or 2 years, come up, I'm missing going to know 5 years. So election is within 2 years or just around there. And you can cut a member's salary by $10,000 to $11,000 at this time. And people say, oh, that ain't nothing. You know, that is a big, big, big thing to those who have been moved from a ministry to the backbench. Not those who move from one ministry to the next, because they're still getting the same salary. They're still getting the same salary. But what I don't understand is we shift around the ministries to prove that you're doing something. But you know the advisors still there? That given advice, and Barbados going down the drain every month. And we getting all, and the advisors, as far as I understand, most of them getting more money than the minister. But you can't.
Let me ask you something, Alvin. The Democrat Labour Party ever fire a minister?
Ever fire a minister?
Yeah.
Mean in history or on a friend of short?
Right, and why not fight friend of short and find a boy? We couldn't, but listen, I don't know the other ones that could have. He couldn't.
He could not,
Alvin, he could not fire nobody. So okay, let me talk about the other ones that could have fired people. Because I remember our bar fire and a man under a dunk tree. It was a dunk tree or it was a sycamore tree?
Listen, we
what kind of tree
about,
it was?
I am speaking to you. But
what kind of tree it was? He fired the man
Mr.
that he eventually
I am speaking, Mr. Wicker,
that day recently. What kind of tree y'all fired the man under?
This conversation I have with you. It's based on 2020 and what happened yesterday.
But no, it got to be based on history, because if you're saying to me that you're not going to find a body, the point is that in recent times they couldn't, and in historic times they did, and they didn't even fire them in the way that Minister Marty fired people yesterday. They fired him. He might get fired under a tree.
Listen,
and they forget the kind of tree it was. It was a dunk tree.
Mr. Wickham,
if it was a mahogany tree, it would actually be decent, but it wasn't a mahogany tree. It was a different kind of tree.
Mr. Wickham, when I want to take over Trevor Marshall's job, I will tell you, I am discussing 2020, what's going on now. And I'm telling you that there's so much things that you could find to talk about, but you prefer, as I tell you, because you use part of the armless school. So all of them apologizing for this. I would like you to do some little work for me and the people of Barbados. As he has been evolving St. Kitts and Guyana and everything, I want you to do a little investigating in Barbados in the last 2 years. Just come to the people and help the people with information that can help them to plan down the road. Is White Oak still being paid?
What I can tell you is that I just got a WhatsApp from somebody to tell me it was John Connor that got fired under a street light. It wasn't a tree. So I stand corrected. He didn't get fired under a tree. He got fired under a street light.
Is it rain?
Which is worse.
Rain, are we going to see a sign on those tailings in Fairchild Street that we will have an idea what is really going there? Who is the contractors?
Alvin?
Who is the engineers?
Alvin, right. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your contribution this morning. As always, it's stimulating to speak to you, Alvin, and I do hope that you can call a lot more frequently. Thank you for calling.